Brother David made those first comments before he read that precious scripture. It just reminded me, July the 20th, 2003, that was my first message here. It's hard to imagine that I've been here 15 years. But what a precious 15 years it's been. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. Lord willing, I'd like to deal with the last verse of Proverbs, chapter 20. Proverbs 20, verse 30. As we've often said, the beauty of the Proverbs is that there is good, perfect, sound advice for our daily walk. No doubt about that. But for those that Almighty God has everlastingly loved in Christ, there is a message of eternal significance. And unto those that the Lord has everlastingly loved, He has a message. And that's the way it is today. I want to deal today with the subject of punishment. Punishment. For those of you that have children, you're vitally aware of the need of instruction. Kids don't come with a handbook, per se, written by man, but they do, written by God. And as our kids are growing up, and you're faced with the struggle of how to handle situations, it is so needful to know what does God have to say concerning the raising of children. And for those of you that don't have children, you was a kid, and you had to go through that time of learning discipline. Never was fun, was it? But oh, how needful. So discipline is not a foreign subject to any of us. So what does God's Word have to say about discipline? Verse 30, Proverbs 20. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes, the inward parts of the belly. Now, temporarily, for today, in this life, humanly speaking, Here's the one side of it that sets forth that good, perfect, sound advice. Children need correction. According to God's Word, discipline for disobedience is ordained of God. Now listen to what Proverbs 23:13 says. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him, that word beatest means punish, with the rod. If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, contrary to modern false, foolish, disobedient opinion, corporal punishment, getting a spanking, is not going to lead to death. No parent that lovingly corrects and spanks their child for disobedience. You're not going to mar their mental state. You're not going to teach them that violence is the answer to everything. I hear what they say. I know what's going on. You know, in fact, discipline administered for the good of our children is actually the exhibition of our love for them. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, or that is, diligently. So I'm telling you that it is absolutely the best and the right thing to chasten, to spank, to discipline children for disobedience. I've told you before, I tell my kids, I said, I'm not going to spank you for a mistake, but I will spank you for disobedience. And I'll be the one that determines whether or not it was a mistake. You know, Dad, I didn't mean to. Don't tell me. You know, I remember what you said. I know what's going on. So, listen. Chasten, Proverbs 19:18, thy son while there's hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Man, I've heard all the excuses that you can possibly give. I was good at it myself, and it didn't really work for me. But I can tell you this. I know that a child is going to try to talk you out of it. I'll never do it again. The basis for all discipline is the Word of God. And as parents, we are instructed to discipline our children with loving but firm corporal punishment. The blueness of a wound cleanseth evil. Now that word blueness, let me tell you what it means. It means leave a mark. Leave a mark. Time out. I'm going to take your computer away from you. You're not going to be on the phone for 3 hours or something. Nothing works like a good old-fashioned spanking. And believe me, children desperately need a spanking when they are disobedient. We administer discipline because we love our children and we desire their best. Kids don't know where the lines are. And the older they get, and the more they come into society, they need to be taught the lines. Where's the boundaries? And discipline, God-ordained discipline, firm, loving discipline, will produce the opposite effect of what free thinkers set forth. Instead of teaching a child to be aggressive, as the modern sociologist says, with loving, biblical discipline, the child is taught respect, love, and obedience. Listen to me, parents. If you do not discipline your children, they will not respect you. They will not respect you. But I promise you this, lovingly disciplining them breeds the greatest of respect. It's because they're taught you do love them and you would not leave them to themselves. So, give them a spanking. Whenever they're disobedient, if you tell them something and they don't do it, spank them. Don't let them talk you out of it. Spank them. You did the best thing that you could possibly do. Now, without a doubt, what I've just told you is absolutely so. It's scriptural. It's needed. It must be heeded. But it doesn't set forth the glory of God in the redemption and salvation of His people. Here's the question that I always tell you to remember to ask. Where's the Lamb? Where's the gospel in it? I mean, what I told you is good advice because it's biblical advice. So now I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, and may the Spirit of God give us eyes to see and ears to hear the truth that this Scripture is setting forth. That first part was true, but it's not going to do us any eternal good. There's two afflictions that every vessel of God's mercy absolutely needs. Now, you know that the scripture sets forth that God has a people. You know that. I won't go into election and teach on election, though I'm going to mention it. God has chosen a people before the foundation of the world, and he's given them to the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:4. They were chosen unto salvation, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Almighty God has eternally loved them. He's going to save them. He's going to call them out of darkness. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. We know that. Now, I'm telling you that there's two whippings, two afflictions that every vessel of God's mercy absolutely must have and shall have. I can tell you that. The first affliction that I want to speak of is the affliction that was administered by Almighty God toward the Lord Jesus Christ on the behalf of God's people in the putting away of my sin. Now you listen to this. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. In my Bible, I've got a marginal reading for the word cleanseth, and it is a purging medicine against evil. There is an affliction that I absolutely have to have, but I cannot bear. I must have it. Here's the truth of the matter. I am a sinner. I am a sinner by birth. I'm a sinner by choice. I'm a sinner by practice. I am a sinner against God, and I deserve eternal separation from God. Almighty God is just. He is a just God, and here's what the scripture says. He will by no means clear the guilty. What does that mean? I'm not going to get away with it. That's what it means. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now that's justice. That's the reality. And the scripture sets forth that God Almighty is going to administer the just due for rebellion against him. And I'm a rebel, and you are too. Now here's the way it is. We're sinners against God. That's not going to change. We were born sinners in sin. Did our mother conceive us? We came forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. And in the day of judgment, I can tell you that all accounts are going to be settled. They're going to be settled. They're going to be made known. They're going to be revealed. John said, Revelation 20:12, I saw the dead, small and great, small in worth and great in rebellion, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books of life, which were written in the books according to their works. I'm sorry. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, that book that was written from before the foundation of the world, was cast into the lake of fire. Now here's what I can tell you. Absolute justice is going to be served. But for all of those who were found written in the book of Christ himself, the book of life, those names who have been eternally written in heaven, those who have been eternally chosen in Christ, they've already suffered that which is due their rebellion. They've already gotten that first whipping. They were punished with the indescribable hand of God's justice and judgment at Calvary in Christ. They were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world, and they've never been apart from being in Him. When they fell in Adam, they were still in Him. When they walked in rebellion before they were regenerated by the grace of God, they've always been in Christ. Now, I can't explain all of this, but I can tell you this. Brother Scott was right when he said, where God puts a man, that's where God keeps a man. And until Almighty God reveals to us that we're in Christ, those that have everlastingly been loved, we don't know it. But when He reveals it, then we know it. Doesn't change the fact that we've always been there. But we were always there. So whenever the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, and for whom did He die? John 10:15 says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 24 of John, let me make sure. It's John 10. John 10, I'll make sure. Everybody say, isn't everybody a sheep? No. He came to the Jews round about, said unto them, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Verse 25, John 10, 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So here's what I know. God's got a sheep. They've always been His sheep. They've never been anything but His sheep. They've never been a goat. They never will be a goat. They've always been sheep. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Told those Pharisees when they rebuked Him and told them, said, won't you be plain with me? He said, I told you. But He said, you don't believe me. And the reason you don't believe me, because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. So I can tell you this. For all that were chosen in Christ, they have suffered the blueness of a wound that cleanseth away evil. That was a whipping that they absolutely had to have, but could not bear. Had I borne my own guilt for my own sin under the judgment of God, I'd be in hell, because I'll never pay the debt. That debt had to be paid by one who was without sin. He must pay the debt for those that God everlastingly loved, put the debt away, and then when the debt was put away, all that was left concerning that debt was Him. And it was cast as far as the east is from the west. And death's penalty was paid. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. They suffered that first whipping in Him. It was not that He just died just for a blanket death, a blanket execution that merely makes salvation possible. Now, I know that's what's being preached. That's what I once believed. That He went to the cross and He died. He just died. He just died. And they said, well, yeah, but everybody's sins were put on Him. Well, as I've said before, if everybody's sins were put on Him, then no one owes any debt to sin, because they've all been paid. They said, oh, well, no. No, He paid for everybody's sins, but you have to accept it. I said, so now salvation is by my works. Well, no. I said, yeah, that's what you're saying. The gospel is the only message that makes sense, according to these scriptures. When He died, He took and suffered the blueness of God's wound and put away the evil, paid the debt. If all four of my kids conspired and committed a crime that was worthy of execution, worthy of death. If all four of my kids did that, and I said, well, I love my kids, I'll go ahead and die. Well, the only problem with that is that I'm not the ones guilty. They are. That's what men are preaching. They're saying Christ just died. He just died. But you remember this. If he died for everybody, then no one's guilty. If he died for everybody's sins, those sins have been paid for. And if you have to leave it up to them to accept it, now you're saying the salvation is by their works. But as I said, that ain't going to fly. Here's what the scripture says. Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Almighty God did something for his people that they could not do for themselves. Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, again, remember this. You have to find out who is the our here. Who is the we? Who is the us? I'm going to use a couple of those words in here too. Who is the our? The Lord revealed who the our is. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for my people. I'm going to save my people from their sins. That's who I'm going to save. He's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes. You see that word stripes right there? Look it up. Same word, blueness. The blueness. The wound that leaves a mark is what it means. With his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Seven times us, we, our, is mentioned concerning his substitutionary death. He was made us. We were in him. And he was made sin. He was made us. And God dealt with us in him. That's the only way that I could absolutely suffer the blueness of a wound and have my evil cleansed. I must have it in a substitute. Those stripes, those wounds, those marks, whenever Thomas came to him. And the Lord said, Thomas, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand. Thrust it into my side. There were the marks of his suffering. That bruising that cleanses away evil, washes away that debt that a sinner owes him. But there's one other affliction. There's two afflictions that every believer must suffer. One we just looked at, the one I must suffer for my debt to be paid before God. God's going to have to be just with me. Sin's going to have to be paid for. It's not going to be, well, I just forgive you. God's just. He's just. But that wound right there, the blueness of that wound, I can't bear that alone and live, but I must bear it. He bore it in my stead. But there's one other affliction that must be borne, and it's an affliction that I cannot and dare not escape. If I escape this one, then I have no part in this first one. For this affliction that I'm about to finish this message with is the token of the evidence of God's love for me, and it's set forth in this latter part. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. That's the substitutionary death of Christ. And this second one, so do stripes, the inward parts of the heart. I need daily correction. I need a washing continually of my walk before God. Turn with me. Hold your place there. I'm going to wrap this up. John 13. You know I'm going. I'm going to where the Lord washed the feet of his disciples. John 13. Verse 3. John 13, 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God, he went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, after he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now this was done by the lowliest of servants. I mean the low lives. That's who did. That's who washed feet. They were just the dregs of society. That's who did this. And here's the Lord of glory washing the disciples' feet. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith, knowing what I just said concerning that, who did this, he said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands, my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. What he was doing was this. He told Peter. He said, Peter, you're clean every whit. God's people, by the blood of Christ, have been cleansed from the debt of their sin before God. There's no doubt about that. But what the Lord was setting forth was that we are daily in contact with sin. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. He is teaching us this, the defilement of just being in this world, being with ourselves. We need a continual washing by the Word of God, a cleansing. There's an initial cleansing by the blood of Christ that puts away the debt of our sin. But I need to be cleansed every day. I need to have that filth washed continually. And that's what he told Peter. Peter said, you'll never wash my feet, Peter. He said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. Almighty God, who has eternally loved his own, sets forth his blessed care and love for the vessels of his mercy. He went to the cross and put away their guilt. But there is a continual chastisement. That's what he's saying here. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes. That continual spanking that we get. Chastisement. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Did the Lord not put away their guilt at Calvary? Yes. But there is a scourging, a chastisement that I need every day, a chastisement of my heart. He said, if you endure chastisement, God dealeth with you as sons. But what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If you be without chastisement, if there's not a conviction, if there's not a turning, if there's not a heart to change, to be cleansed, to get away from that spirit that of rebellion, and if there's no chastisement, if there's a continuance in a walk of rebellion against God, you don't know him. That's what he said. What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without correction, if you be without correction, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards. You're not sons. If there is that continual walk of resentment, rebellion, there's no heart to change. There's no heart to deviate from that walk of animosity and anger. He said, you don't know him. That's that second affliction that surely must be borne by God's people. One affliction he alone could bear. He did bear. God administered the blueness of the wound toward Christ for us, his people. And what he did was he cleansed away evil. So do the stripes, that one affliction that we surely bear daily, administered with love and affection. And if we be without it, we're illegitimate. Lord, thanks be unto you for the two afflictions that every believer must bear. Must bear. One born by Christ, put away our guilt. And one born by his people daily in correcting us, straightening us up, changing our attitude for God's glory and our good. Amen. All right.